I discovered that people get very confused when I tell them that there's an enormous difference between feelings and emotions. To them, it's all the same. And if you look at the neurocrine level, it actually looks the same. So the neuronal and the hormonal activities of feelings and emotions, it's the same kind of signals. There are some researchers, Maturana and Varela, a neurophysiologist and neurobiologist, in reverse order, who were looking at the way in our brain perceptions and illusions appear. And of course, when you measure in the brain, and that's done with electrodes or magnetic imaging, you find that the signals are the same. In the perception, you know that the signal comes from somewhere outside, so there is a relationship to the environment. And the illusion, or the dream, comes from something inside, a memory stored in the body. But the process that takes place for the perception and the illusion is similar. The same neurological activities, the same hormone enzyme activation, and so on. So in feelings and emotions it's the same, except that there is a difference between their reference or background reference to that. In the feelings, the sensations are connected to what's going on around you, and emotions they're connected to what has been going on in your past within you. So if you would look at it in a more time-defined sense, you could say that feelings are in the now, and emotions are in the past. I've always been very aware of the difference between them. When I am in the proximity of people, I feel within me if they are feeling something or if they're emotional, in an emotional state. And perhaps it's a bit strange to try to describe it in the following metaphor. The people who are feeling something, as if I smell the perfume of flowers, and the people who are emotional, as if they're farting the fumes of shit. It is that kind of feeling that I get within me. The one that sort of closes the nose and the other nose opens up. The people themselves are often unaware what their emotional state is. And perhaps the more people are in an emotional state, the less aware they are of being in an emotional state. They feel energized, they feel activated, they feel alert, they feel awake, they feel meaningful. Their energy level is up. It must be important, it must be relevant, specifically they must be right. So I took quite a bit of time to find out what is going on in this difference between feelings and emotions, and I actually had to explore that in the text called The Bones of Belief, which are which is paralleling to what Bruce Lipton is describing in The Biology of Belief. I realized that what he was describing for the conditioning of beliefs is the same as what you see in the formation of the bones. And so out of that I could see how simple the parallel is in the formation of the bones or the formation of the beliefs. In the formation of the bone there is the mountain somewhere, the flow of water, you drink the water, the calcium comes into your body, goes into the stomach, goes into the gut, goes into the blood, goes into the bone, and then at some point it's pulled out of the bone and put into the nervous system. It helps to trigger a signal, and then it goes somewhere else again. Part of that story is that the cells then use the calcium to build up the bone, and that the bone then is the the most solid, time-resistant aspect of the body. And astrology is connected with Saturn, which symbolizes time and eternity, the invariable, also the law and the bones and the skull and bones, the death and that what survives death, the perennial. Actually, the bones are a deposit, a residue of a specific function, and at the moment that the body dies, that process which makes use of that function is no longer there. That's why the bones are not dismantled, and they don't fall apart, because that's the essence of the calcium structures. In the same way as the body builds up the bone, we also build up beliefs. And the principle of that is very simple. You have freedom of choice, which essentially operates in the light field in the pineal gland. And that's where you identify either with the outside world or the inside world. The outside world comes on the projection screen of the cortex, the forebrain. And that's where essentially the whole surface body of all the sensory sensations comes together and projects this holographic image of the vibrations which the body surface feels and senses and puts together. And the hind brain, you have the same kind of story for everything that's going on within the body. So the pineal gland, right between them, has this picture of what's going on the body surface, and on the other side what's going on inside of the skin. And the pineal gland then, in a way, is the joystick where you decide, okay, let's have a bit more of the outside, or no, let's have a bit more of the inside. Let's turn it off a bit, turn it on a bit, and whatever you do in the pineal gland, in the association, dissociation with the events, that's where you jump in or jump out of it. That goes on to the station below, where in the hypophysis, the neuronal and the hormonal side actually then switch the boundary of the body. That's where you actually then take a decision of, okay, I've decided to be more on the outside, more on the inside. Now this is how the switch goes. It's like the train now goes to the other track. And so you either need to do things in the outside world, or you do need to do things on the inner world. So you either need to do the fight and flight and changing the environment, or you need to do the fear and faint of changing yourself on the inside. And having flicked that switch, the neurons and the hormones then take into account that you flicked the switch and you switched onto the other track, and it reconditions the internal furnace for that purpose. So it then resets all of the glands of the body. It's also called the chakra system. So it basically recalibrates the internal climate, and that internal climate is then holding a state of experience which you were living just a moment before. But you just flicked the switch, so either you've bottled it up or you've let it evaporate. So you either connected to it, you're intensifying that experience, or you dissociate from it, you let it evaporate. The result is, however, that you have an internal emotional climate, a belief, a conviction, because you now chose to go for a specific awareness for that specific moment of, I want to zoom in on that, I want to taste that better, I want to experience that more fully. And your body then is processing it, your body is computing it, the digestive organs are turned on to deal with it, to replicate it, to mimic it, to enhance it, to amplify it, to pull it apart. The whole metabolic experience of whatever is possible, and the whole chemistry of the body is playing a part in that. So for the digestion of the information and experience, We do use the organs that digest our food and purify our blood. So the internal climate of our body, within the physiology, is literally called the internal climate by Claude Bernard. In our experience, we would call it our beliefs or convictions. That is the kind of reality which you now hold to be true because you chose it to be true, because you decided it need to be true, because you're putting it under the magnifying glass of your attention and you're testing it out in the laboratory of your body. But your body, of course, has to bear the consequences because it is now doing that computation for you. It is now become a reality in your body and thus a reality of your body. So you're now digesting it, and as a result, you will then come to a specific experience. And the experience comes out of the specific soup that you're boiling and bubbling in that gut level of the organ glands. But that specific climate which you cooked up is the environment within your body cells then exist and act. So you've in a way turned on the thermostat the one way or the other way, because you've selected to go for a specific sensory experience, and then the body cells will act on that. So they will amplify, or they will go smaller, they go faster or slower, they multiply more or less. There's a whole kind of range of consequences which you would expect that if on the landscape you change the climate, then the leaves drop or the flowers come out and all the bees go buzzing. Or you know from nature how that works, so that happens within our body as well. I need to bring in this story of how the pineal gland with the freedom of choice from the light field connects into this electromagnetic field of the neurons and the hormones at the decision level, which then goes into the chemical level of the endocrine glands, which then goes into the physical experience of the body cells, because this cycle repeats. When you first have an experience, you are dealing with something which is unknown. But when you repeat a choice, then around the core of your brain, something already says, well, you actually did this before. Do you want us to take over, or do you want to do it yourself? But then in fact you should need to do it differently. But if you choose to do it again and you do the same, then the next time you do it, that part of the brain says, okay, we've got two against one. We already have two patterns stored in the body, and you know we can really do that much more quickly than you can. And we already know the outcome. And by the way, it did work quite well last time, so why not let us do it? If you're not careful, then it will have been taken out of your hands already. But let's assume that you know how this goes, and you decide, no, I do this. And you do it again, and then you cook up the same climate again, the body responds, had the reflex conditioning, all goes as before. And then the fourth time that you do that, you actually don't get a choice. At the moment that you take that decision, with electronic speed, the decision is recognized, copied, and at chemical speed, the whole setting of the body is replicated, reproduced, and at the physical rates, the body then acts on it. So that's where you then have the building of reflexes. This is very practical, because evidently you chose four times for doing the same thing in the same context, in the same manner, for the same result. And there's four levels of that process. So why should you need to think about it next time? Because when you go from light speed to electronic speed, why waste time? It can immediately go from light to electronic, so a fraction of a second later, the whole circuitry is already recognized and in place, and immediately with the speed of electronic flow, the chemistry is already put in place, the kettle is cooking. So that is basically the slowest level of activity before the cells can essentially immediately act on that. So reflex action goes much quicker than the thought through action, because there is no feedback control, there is no checks and balances, there is no regulation and up and down correction. It just replicates what was there already. Now remember that this is all about an activity in a specific context for a specific result with a specific outcome. So there is a meaning, an intent, a value to it. That is also where the emotions then come in. When people are doing something and they expect that value, but either the circumstances are wrong, or the process is wrong, or the decision was bluntly wrong, or the outcome is not proper for that setting, then the whole process backfires. So at that moment, the whole machinery is put in action, but it blocks. And so the whole cookery takes place and fuels up the engine, but it gets stuck somewhere. And this is what you see when people go emotional. They are experiencing something and they are responding to it, but they are realizing that the response that they are getting is not what they anticipated. They miscalculated, it got confused. But the central problem of it all is that they were acting out of reflex. So the emotions are always tied with the reflex chain. Feelings are always connected to open decision taking. It's a totally different process. In the freedom of choice situation, that it is connected to the present, it is open to what's happening around, it is alert to possibilities of alternatives, and it is playful in how it wants to do things next. So when people fall in love with others, it's that discovery of, okay, I'm in the here now, oh, this is funny how that is going, oh, look at it, this is new, oh, fantastic, I didn't know that this was possible. Is the feeling thing, and the emotional thing is, this is how it's supposed to go. It's not going fast enough. It's not going far enough. It's not doing it. The funny thing is that this is not only for the negative emotion, but also for the positive emotion. So there are a lot of people who are very happy about things because things happen as they expected them to be, or people feel very blissful about things because things are exactly as they're supposed to be. Or people are very content with things because actually they don't have to do anything. They can just be and yeah. You have this whole range of embeddedness in expectations, or living in the past, or being lived by the reflexes, which is associated with that emotional domain. There's an interesting quote which I once got from the Urantia book, which sort of nicely says, do not become servant of your servants. That so very nicely and precisely portrays what happens when people start to rely on reflexes. Now you created the reflexes. You did the action, you redid the action, you did the action again, and then you keep on repeating the action by reflex. But that doesn't mean that the reflex was done right. It doesn't mean that the reflex is doing the best it can. It doesn't mean that the reflex is actually valid for those conditions. It doesn't mean that the reflex actually would work for other settings as well. So once you created this reflex, this robot, this machine, this servant, at the moment that it's in this service, you need to repair it. But a lot of people don't do that, especially the people who are, let's say, the emotional people. They feel that they are right, they feel that they are correct, because they feel so wonderfully energized, because they feel all these emotional hormones going on. They experience this whole vitality of this electronic swirl in the neurons and the hormones. Something must be right. No, they are just experiencing a bottled up recycling of an old dysfunctional experience. And that it seems to be as energetic and active, as alert, as alive, as when you are in an open state, and when you're active, and when you're enthusiastic, and when you're creative. It is simply because in the body you cannot see the difference between the illusion and the perception. The chemistry of the emotions and the feelings is the same. It is just that their context is not the same. In the feelings, it is open, it is connected to the universe, everything is possible, and nothing is precise or specified. While in the emotions, there are all these expectations. And that is something which I actually quite literally sense. Then when people are in this emotional state, it is as if they're in this pressure cooker with a lid on top and the weight on top and the flame up under it, building up pressure, more pressure. And for them, the sound of a hissing is like the flute on the water kettle that's boiling. It is, in a way, their experience of ecstasy. For the simple reason that they got stuck in a setting where their reflexes have started to dominate their life to that extent that they are hardly aware of what the experience is like without that. And for some people it can be very disconcerting when they start to dismantle reflexes, and when they get rid of those expectations, and when they let go of the underlying belief, and when they discover that it was all a decision which at that time they took in that circumstance because they didn't see an alternative, that could have been another decision as well, and it could have been another decision as well. So the decision that they took was in fact highly irrelevant. It was just a haphazard emergency grasp that they did to solve a problem which needed a solution at that time, but they never look back at it. And that's part of the education that people have in the Western culture, that they are raised in this environment of expectations, and in fact in a state of subservience, dominated by money and the politics and religion of money. So they're actually not free to live life, because they, in a way, have to tread the water on the hamster wheel to pump in money, because otherwise the banking system will happily let them die. This is still a money slave system. So the education is geared toward that, and the money slavery requires that people are not conscious that they don't realize that they have freedom of choice, that they can actually decide to not step into the hamster wheel, that they can actually decide to make their own money, that they can decide to make their own government, that they can realize that they actually already are their own religion. And that they together create the life that they want to live. But many people are not aware that that's possible because they have been conditioned to operate by reflex, and that's the only thing that they know. So once the reflexes are dismantled and the beliefs that sort of pressurize them are dissolved, and the decision that sort of bottled up that beliefs in that sack is opened, then suddenly they discover that their experience is without the pressure, and they're not quite well. You need to be having this Chinese joke kind of sense of humor on this, from the relationship from pressure to pleasure. It is essentially the same. Once you get rid of the pressure, then you have the pleasure. Once you get rid of this reflex conditioning tied up by the belief, by the decision, which was most often happenstance, the pressure is off the kettle, and suddenly the thing can solve itself. The pleasure comes in. You can suddenly discover how magical and how many varied the solutions are, and that there are in fact so many solutions that you don't know which one to choose, and you discover that you don't even have to choose. Yes, you can choose the one and the other and bottle it up and put it in the amplifier for a while and experience it, but you can also already go to the next one and the next one and the next one and see that there are lots of solutions. And in fact, very often it is a process which will do itself, and your participation in that creation might not be essential. Yes, you can dip and experience it, or you can dip out and look at it, but it's still one of the many options. So the feeling experience of reality without the pressure, with the pleasure, is free of the expectations, free of the belief, free of the conditioning, free of the emotions. It is the same process. It is just that it is no longer a stench, it is a perfume. And just to put a neat little example, as a physiologist once told me, that the red pepper, which is biting your mouth and your tongue, and later on your anus, is a very highly concentrated sugar. It's 200 times stronger than the sugars that you would have in fruit. So the body actually responds to it with that vehemency of what it is bringing in. In the same way, the red pepper of the emotions, or the sweet smell, or the perfume of the feelings, it is still the same principle. The only thing is, once you get rid of the condition of the pressure cooker lid, then the emotions are no longer that nearly explosive force. And then everything that happens still happens the same, but suddenly it can connect up to everything else. And that's also the strong difference between emotions and feelings, and that's also the difference between, say, hell and heaven. And in my mind, that's actually what the story about devils and angels are about. That in devils and hell, it is disconnected, for the simple reason that the word hell from helling off means isolated, separated, disconnected. While angel from angelos, from messenger, is communicating, it's connecting. So in the devil you have the isolated version, in the angel you have the connected version. In the emotion you have the disconnected version, in the feeling you have the connected version. So to bring it together, emotions and feelings are really complementary. The one is a closed system, high pressure, nearly explosive, blind force, which will just keep on doing what it's doing and actually creating a lot of problems on the planet. And the description of the devils and the hell stuff really applies well to that. The feelings are the complement. The heaven descriptions apply well to that. It's connected, it is open, it is graceful, it is vitalizing, it's wonderful, and the emotional stuff is ghastly. But for the people who are in it, it's different. The people who are in the emotional state, they are in a way locked in, because they are operating by reflex, and how to put it, they no longer have a choice about their choice. For them, that's normal. They at some point switch to robot mode, and they don't know how to switch it off again, or they're afraid to switch it off, or they're afraid of the consequence if they switch it off, or just imagine that I switch it off, what would it do to all the others? Well, they don't realize that for all of the others it would be a relief, for them it would be a relief, for their whole body it would be a relief. But yes, they will have to get used to the notion that how this fiery pot of pressure cooker, hellfire, which for them is normal. Yeah, the people who eat red hot peppers all the time, they think that everything else is not stimulating enough. And it requires a drug withdrawal procedure before their body can reset itself and go out of their reflex emotional dependency mode and sort of lower the volume setting on everything, so that where they are used to a stench, they can slowly sort of customize themselves to the perfume. And of course there are some people who go so refined that for them the perfume again is a stench, and others, the even more rarefied openness, say the full spiritual being, is where the feelings are actually, let's say, universal feelings. That, by the way, is a quite interesting sensation. Let me just try to explain that and describe that. The emotional, it's like living in a pit. Let's say living in a latrine is perhaps the nicest picture of that. Then the feelings is living in a room with flowers. And the spiritual feeling is living out in the field with the flowers. So in many cases, the people who are living with the feelings are still, say, conditioning that in their own manner. They still have their own perception of life and reality. They, in a way, live in their bubble. But once you step out of that, then you realize that there is openness everywhere. And the funny part is that you could be in a cave and you still experience that openness, because pressure no longer pressurizes you, because you already know that the universe is much larger than that. Okay, now let me see if I can bring that to a sort of neat and simple conclusion. I have some difficulties with that, because I'd really like to connect up so many of the other things about the chemistry, the neuro activities. There's this whole story of the male-female hormone differences. There is the relationship between the feelings and emotions in the sexuality, when orgasm is actually a kind of emotion which is not closed, which shows that there are also not closed forms of emotions, which are in fact highly powerful and very meaningful, but only remain meaningful by leaving them open. There are the other part of the story about the sensitivity and hypersensitivity of the feeling side, and evidently there is also the relationship between the feelings and the emotions as people most often know it as, say, the hormonal experience within our body, with perhaps a neuronal slant to it, but also the possibility to shift from the hormonal, emotional to the neuronal sensitive, with also the possibility to switch from the internalized sensation awareness to the really externalized, really open sensory awareness, which comes out of meditation techniques, breathing techniques, and so on. I suggest that the male and the female hormonal neuronal story is one in itself. Maybe if, we could look a bit more at the sexual principles of orgasm and the shifts of consciousness which are connected to that, because that is in a way at that juncture where you are navigating the emotional and the feeling, but at the meeting point, and you realize that the one is actually the other, and you decide to keep it at the meeting point, so that in a way you bring it together, but still you do not put it under pressure. And yeah, maybe let me finalize with this. But yes, the feelings and the emotions are in that way complements. The one is closed off and the other one is opened up. But once you realize that, then you can see that they're actually the same. And by realizing that they're same, you can understand or appreciate that the people living the emotional state basically don't have a way out. They don't see how they can choose differently. That's the consequence of living by reflex. But also, your example will not help them because they cannot reach that. And so sometimes these people just need to be given space. I have to, excuse me for the metaphor, the picture of a baby with the diapers full of shit. These people don't experience it like that. For them it's normal. They think it smells wonderfully nice and it is lovingly warm. But it takes a while before the diapers are off and they're cleaned off before they can feel that there's an other way of doing that. And in fact, it's very interesting to interplay with these reflexes. And once you get into the habit of it, people are very often interested and willing to look at reflexes and to discover how they work. And once they work one, they can work others, and they can work all of them. But the first thing is that there needs to be a safe space to understand that, okay, this is just a reflex. Okay, that was just conditioned because in that situation you couldn't do otherwise. And actually this is merely a belief. There are other beliefs that exist as well. Just look around. And yeah, why not take a new decision? And so there are many different ways to do that. But yes, one of the items that does play a role, that a new kind of understanding needs to fall in place, that without the volume on 10 and the earthquake rumbling at factor 12, they can also live. That actually it is not the emotions that are doing their life. And sometimes it helps to just remind people when they're building up the steam and starting to get angry or fearful or whatever, to simply tell them, well, those are actually very costly molecules that you are brewing there. Because that in a way helps them realize that by their psychosomatic activities, they are changing the mindset of their belief system. As a result, they are changing the kind of endocrine glandular hormones that they are releasing, but that these actually do interfere with our body well-being. And so there is a whole series of techniques that come into play then, but it's easier to talk about that sometimes in an example or in an experience. So I'll just refer to that now, just to show that there's no reason to fear it and there's no reason to be rejectful of it. There's no need to disregard it or to. It's better to understand that, is it logical that it works like that? It's logical that some people need to work like that. But it's also good to understand that it's possible to transform that. And the basis is still that emotions and feelings are the same, and all it requires is a switch, is that this is valid for the universe or not. And as they said in the old religions, does this serve God? Does God benefit from this? If you would formulate it in a more modern terminology, you would say, what you're doing now, does it do good for everybody? And feelings, yes. Emotions, rarely. Emotions are useful at times when somebody really needs to break out of a situation where others are obstructing, and then it's a self-defense method which is actually necessary, and then it is not something that is going on within the individual, but because other people around are being abusive, they are in that method in that view, they are then the demons of hell. They're trying to close somebody down, and they are actually the instigators of the emotions. Some people actually thrive on that. Some people intentionally do that. So be aware of that. But most importantly, realize that within yourself, if you have a feeling and it feels to be pressured, it must be so, you're right, it has to be, this feeling of compulsion, then you know it comes out of conviction. It's an emotion. And if you're feeling something and you realize that this is for the good of everything, for everybody, and then you are aware that that's a feeling. And feelings are highly shareable. Really nice.